Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and the way we live our lives please you. Make you glad, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I heard a young Christian man tell this story recently. He said he was raised Catholic, and he went to Catholic schools and to a religious college. He'd been active in the church his whole life, but now, as an adult, something wasn't working. His son had been born with serious medical complications, and the doctors told them that this child wasn't likely to live beyond the age of 5. His wife was struggling with a life-threatening illness. This man had prayed in every way he knew how. He went to church. He lived a good Christian life. So why then were all these terrible things happening to him? And maybe more importantly, why couldn't he find comfort in prayer or reassurance in what he'd always thought was his steady faith? He wondered, what good is being a Christian if it isn't something that can help me through times like this? Truth be told, I would bet most of us have gone through some moment when we wondered whether somewhere along the way we missed an important lesson about faith. Whether faith is making the difference it's supposed to in our lives. I wonder it for you and for the church. I often ask myself whether it seems true that people who go to church have a better quality of life or depth of life than people who don't. Whether we who plant ourselves in a religious tradition, the church, experience more love, less fear, more honesty and generosity, better relationships than people who live without faith. Whether maybe just trying to be a good person is enough. Maybe even more frequently, I wonder whether the church, religion, makes the world a better place in these days. You see, even pastors doubt. So what is it we are trying to do in this enterprise we call the church? What is the difference we are trying to make in the world, in people's lives, in your life? For the whole 2,100 years of its existence, the church has taken its purpose from those final words in the Gospel of Matthew that Paul read this morning. Go, Jesus said to the 11 disciples who remained. And some of them had big doubts. Terrible things had happened to Jesus and to the movement that they had pinned their hopes on. Keep going, Jesus said to them. Don't go back to your familiar, comfortable lives. Go out and make more disciples. Baptize people. Teach them what I have taught you. The Christian church has always taken that go make disciples message seriously. That instruction has formed the mission statement of virtually every church and denomination, Protestant, Catholic, whatever. But I think we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a disciple in these days when freedom to find your own way is what we most often value? In a culture where your religious identity seems mostly irrelevant. What makes Christianity different from any other path to self-improvement? Yoga, Rotary, whatever helps you focus on living a life with good values. Does discipleship, being a Christian, make the quality of your life better? Does it make the world better? The word disciple means, literally, a learner, a student. But in the ancient world, learning happened differently than it does now. There were no books. Most people couldn't read or write. And so a student in Jesus' time was someone who stayed with the teacher, adopted the teacher's entire way of life as his own. Being a student meant to hang on to your teacher's every word, follow in his steps, watch and imitate how she conducted herself with other people. Students didn't go home at night. They slept outside their teacher's door so they wouldn't miss any pearls of wisdom that might drop from their lips, even in the middle of the night. To be the disciple of a teacher was to commit yourself to living in the same atmosphere, breathing the same air, to experience that life as if it were your own. And what this kind of learning did was to allow the teacher to take up residence inside the student's mind and spirit. A disciple heard the teacher's voice as if it were her own, learned to see the world through that wise person's eyes. That's how Jesus' disciples learned from him. They lived with him, ate with him, prayed beside him, walked in his footsteps for 3 years. To follow is what he asked of them. Not to study a set of right beliefs or to produce enough to learn to earn a place on the team, but to come. To take on his life. Now, Jesus wasn't the only teacher who had wisdom to offer, then or now. There were other paths to a virtuous life: the Ten Commandments, Greek philosophy. But Jesus offered something more than knowledge, more even than an example of good living. To nestle in close to Jesus' life was to experience God, close as your own breath. In Jesus, those disciples saw what it looks like for the inexhaustible, egoless, anxiety-free love of God to come to life outside the temple where the religious rituals happened. On the days when you're not on retreat, in a world just as it is, full of illness, poverty, conflict. By coming so close that they could feel his presence, hear his voice inside themselves, Jesus knew that those disciples too could learn to be a place, to be a place, where that love of God comes alive again and again. "When I'm gone," he said to them, "I'll still be with you. And you will find me again in the same way you sense me now. I'll be inside of you, as if you had swallowed me like a piece of bread dipped into juice. I'll be that close." I know that sounds abstract, hard to grab onto. And there is a way in which the spiritual life can only be known, not described, not taught. It has to happen inside of you, personally, spiritually, invisibly. But like most things about the spiritual life, there is a paradox at work here. Because in another way, the life that Jesus called his disciples to was very concrete, active, real. Do what I do is what he meant when he said, go make disciples. And what that looks like isn't the same at every time or in every place. Casting out demons worked really well for Jesus, but it isn't much called for these days. Here in this place, Christians don't mark our faith by codes of conduct about what we eat or in vows of chastity. But that doesn't mean that the consequences of being a Jesus follower shouldn't show up visibly and measurably in our lives. So how would you recognize a Christian here in Campbell in 2017? What are the marks that a life of active, intentional discipleship should leave behind? Some qualities come easily to mind, I think, for me and I'm sure for you. Integrity, honesty, generosity, kindness, an ability to forgive, knowing that we all need forgiveness from time to time, and the openness to change that comes with knowing that. A willingness to let anger and hatred and violence go unreturned for the sake of peace. A heart and a willingness to give yourself away for the people that Jesus recognized and was drawn to, the excluded, the poor, the sick, people with nothing to give and not much to lose. Trust, a relief from the anxiety that is so natural to us. Trust that no matter what happens, at the core of it all, there is a good God who wants good for us. Maybe, what a life of discipleship looks like in public isn't so different from what good people have always strived for. Maybe it's more about what enables you to live that life. You need heart and strength and courage to live and grow those qualities I just mentioned. A disciple is someone who knows where to go, who to look to, where to pay attention to find those things. The Christian life is not, it never has been, a life of sheer determination to improve yourself, to be a good person. You don't muscle up so that you can be like Jesus. You follow. You take Jesus in. And he changes you. The presence of love takes up residence in your heart, frees you from the ego and fear that can otherwise take up that space and crowd out everything else. Sometimes that fear and ego move back in. They're always ready, standing by in good times and in bad. But a disciple, the student, knows that that's the time to move in a little closer, to draw even nearer to the teacher, how to listen until you can hear that voice that you know as well as your own, a voice that says, you are God's act of love, God's aliveness in the world. There's a survey inside your bulletin this morning, and it's there for you to fill out a little bit later in the service and to put in the offering plate. or to take home if you want to be more thoughtful about it. It's meant to tell you something about the marks of discipleship in your own life. It's also designed to tell us something about how well the church is doing its work of helping you live that life. In the United Methodist Church, the mission statement that begins, "Go make disciples," is not quite finished there. This church's mission statement adds 5 more words: "For the transformation of the world." This is what we do, what we are about. We make disciples of Jesus Christ, not so that the church will be a large and powerful institution, not even really so that more people get into heaven. We help one another live as disciples of Jesus Christ so that the whole world might be transformed, changed for good by the aliveness of God. By the aliveness of God in us. May it be so. Amen.